Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual, but not in the usual order. We start with the bad, and we should say right out front here that the entire Three Martini Lunch today will be reflecting on what was an amazing brief press conference from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday at the United Nations. We start with the bad to put everything in context. We'll be putting a few different sound bites out here, kind of rapid fire, just to set the stage for those folks who haven't heard about it yet. First of all, she talked about the main reason why she didn't want a .gov email account while Secretary of State is for matters of convenience. She just couldn't handle more than one device.
Looking back, it would have been better for me to use two separate phones and two email accounts. I thought using one device would be simpler. And obviously, it hasn't worked out that way.
Then it got into the fact that she says, I've turned over all my work emails to the State Department, but...
At the end, I chose not to keep my private personal emails. Emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines, family vacations, the other things you typically find in inboxes.
For anyone not willing to take her word for it, she says, tough luck.
The server contains personal communications from my husband and me, and I believe I have met all of my responsibilities, and the server will remain private, and I think that the State Department will be able, over time, to release all of the records that were provided.
And finally, Jim, perhaps most maddening to you, she says there was no security breach on this email account. And this little gem.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material.
Target-rich environment there, Jim. Where do you start?
She says there's no security breach. This is flat out just not true. Right? We already know about the hacker Guccifer, who got some of her emails back in 2011. If this guy could get it, I don't understand why she so adamantly believes it's ridiculous to think Russian intelligence, Chinese intelligence, Iranians, or somebody else could get access to her emails. So the first thing, like she said several things yesterday that are just flat out not true. And this is where you really want to see a more aggressive press corps calling her out on this. And I you know, during which I'm tweeting, you know, ask about Guccifer, ask about this, naturally no one did. I mentioned the morning jolt that we kind of knew how a lot of this was going to go. We knew at some point some sort of sense of a lot of these emails were personal, including my mother's funeral, you monsters. You know, how dare you try to pry into that stuff? As if that's what we really wanted, as if that's what anybody really wanted. No one disputes that some of them were going to personal. I think we have very good reason to question the split on that. But what's really kind of intriguing is she asserted that she had the ability to decide what was personal and what was government. I don't think that's the case, because at that point, basically anybody in government could keep any email to weigh off FOIA requests and things like that by classifying it as personal, no matter what's in there. In other words, there is no independent verification of that assertion. A pretty shameless performance. The fact that ultimately her excuse came down to convenience is pretty galling. And I guess we can just move on to, I this is one of those smart, days, Greg, where the difference between the bad martini and the crazy martini is a blurred line. I would say that, except I'd have to pay Marvin Gaye a lot of money if I started singing it.
Very well done. Yes, it was pretty clear that Hillary Clinton and her team had, at least in the beginning of the Q&A, had their favorite people lined up and ready to go, including Andrea Mitchell. There were some tough questions later from folks like John Carlin, one person who did kind of get into the security aspect of it. But the first question went to a Turkish reporter who spent most of his question fawning all over her for talking about the advancement of women's rights at the UN. Then he asked her two questions. One was, you know, why did you do this? Which she had already explained was a matter of convenience. And then this gem.
If you were a man today, would all this fuss being made be made? Thank you.
You had to know that was coming somewhere. MSNBC didn't even have to make the argument for him.
Yeah, you know, at some point, if you look closely, you could see Andrea Mitchell saying, darn, that was my question. To give her a little bit of credit, Mrs. Greenspan did offer a pretty good question as the second question. Maybe it's because the bar had been set so low by the representative from the Turkish Press Association. my understanding is, I guess it's tradition at the United Nations that the head of the UN press gallery or press corps, whatever, so, you know, basically it's tradition for one guy to ask the first question. If you have that privilege, if you have that special status, why do you ask such a bullcrud question? I mean, he must really kick butt on the United Nations press corps softball team, don't you think? Greg? I mean, that was an embarrassment. And one of the things that's kind of bizarre, yes, I know she was scheduled to give this speech on women's rights, et cetera, at the United Nations, but why do you decide to hold this really important press conference in the United Nations if for no other reason than to restrict it to the folks who already have a United Nations press pass? It was a pretty embarrassing set of circumstances. You could see how, you know, even she, like, you know, that blatantly playing the gender card in response to very serious questions. I think there was just kind of a tone of disbelief to everybody who was watching it live. Once again, like, through the moment that she has, you know, been caught with her hand in the cookie jar, breaking federal regulations, breaking the law, naturally, the first question is she a victim? I think even David Brock started rolling his eyes at that question, Greg.
All right. We end with the good martini today, which is certainly not the usual pattern. But Jim, after what was supposed to be a healing press conference for Hillary's political ambitions, the general consensus immediately on Twitter and on the analysis on cable later seemed to be almost across the board that this hurt her and possibly hurt her quite badly. She did not handle it well. Her excuses were lame, and ultimately she just looked stiff and wooden as usual out there. So ultimately, is this going to be something that turns off more and more Democrats, turns off more independents if she is the nominee? Or ultimately, are people going to end up caring more about, you know, whether they've got a job, of course, than whether or not Hillary turned over her emails?
Over the weekend, I think it was Mark Halperin who said that he no longer thought Hillary was the favorite to be elected president, and she may not be the Democrats' nominee. And I'd say that after yesterday, it's a little easier to believe it. Yes, she's got about 80% in all the polls of Democratic primary voters and things like that. But if you're a Democrat, can you look at yesterday and feel really confident about how she would be as a standard bearer, right? I mean, she basically had 8 or 9 days to prepare for this. Her ultimate excuse was that it was convenience. Point after point, she said, she basically admitted she had deleted 30,000 emails. That really is not what's supposed to happen in terms of government documents. She's not turning over the servers, and she basically says, trust me, as if the Clintons didn't have a long history of you know, mendacity and dishonesty and things like that. Why did she do all this? Ultimately, it's a sense of entitlement. She doesn't think that her communications should be subject to FOIA requests. She doesn't think, you know, that there's really any legitimate criticism of her. She bristled. She was prickly. She was clearly very irritated with this. People have said the contrast between Bill Clinton, who always seemed to enjoy jousting with his critics, and her visible annoyance and the fact that she left after, like, what, 6 or 7 questions?
Right.
There's no reason, if you're a Democrat, to feel confident that she's gotten any better since 2008 or that she's going to get any better. And if that's the case, how great do you feel going into 2016 with this? And so I think if you're Elizabeth Warren, I think you loved every minute of yesterday. it's kind of striking that you don't see more Democrats saying, hey, you know what, Barack Obama, you know, nobody thought Barack Obama was going to be this great guy in 2006, 2007. He jumped in and she turned out to be vulnerable. I know Martin O'Malley's out there. I know Jim Webb is out there. But it's really kind of striking that there aren't more Democrats who are willing to say, hey, maybe I can be that guy. What do I have to lose? Nobody's expecting me to be knocking off Hillary Clinton. So I think the odds of Hillary Clinton having a tougher road ahead in 2015 and 2016 are significantly greater after yesterday's performance. And I think that qualifies as our good martini.
Definitely good martini. And you said it, Jim, that the thing that baffles me is that, you know, there are certain people who obviously aren't as naturally inclined to succeed in a situation like that as Bill Clinton. But over 40 years, essentially, in political life, she doesn't seem to have picked up any skills whatsoever in deflecting scandals or anything, just based on that performance. I mean, that's kind of a rookie politician style handling that we saw yesterday. It was,
well, just, and the other thing is that they had to have known since day one at some point this was going to be an issue. Apparently, the White, like this, you know, Greg, this is one of those really rare circumstances in which you and I can discuss Barack Obama and the Obama administration as the comparative heroes of the story, and that they had said, you know, this private email probably doesn't follow regulations. It doesn't, you know, keep with the law regarding preserving official records. You probably should, you know, not be doing that. And she ignored it. And I think one of the things that, you know, maybe an unexplored angle of all this, and I realize we've wrapped up our three martinis, but think of this maybe as a closing thought for our listeners, is part of the problem that nobody could tell Hillary Clinton, no, you really got to get an official, you know, state.gov email address, that no one felt okay speaking up to her. No one felt sufficiently unintimidated to tell her that she was violating a rule and she had to change the way she was acting. And if so, that's a terrifying thought, that she's not the queen, she's not the empress. The same rules and laws apply to her that apply to the rest of us. And if nobody around her felt comfortable doing that, then you have a formula for just worse problems and more scandals and other bad behavior down the road.
Well, let's hope folks are paying attention and remember this months from now if necessary. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.